Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it's
it.
A navy blazer, yeah, but it's so much more. No, than
yeah, that. Yeah, I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Team Podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Lou Half, and Harriet Russell. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Hello.
I think we're all feeling a bit Monday. We need to, like, get up and do some star jumps or something.
I know.
We need to go outside and have a big blast of air in our faces.
So cold. Have you been outside?
It's so cold. You know, it might wake us up.
It might. I'm really... We are, like, a significant amount of the team down today due to the storms. I think that's the problem. It's been quite lackluster in the office.
Yeah.
How was everyone's weekend? Storms aside, Harriet?
Stormy. Yeah, I mean, fine, really, very low key. But I feel like I've had a very busy start to the year, so it actually felt quite nice to just kick back, catch up on all the TV. I am obsessed with Euphoria, and no one else watches it in the office.
Oh, Amrit is obsessed with it as well.
Oh, I need
Daisy
to watch
watches it. Poppy, I think.
Well,
the young people.
Yeah, I was going to say we've got a young crowd here.
You kind of have to be in the mood for it. It's intense. But yeah, I watched about 3 episodes back to back.
I started season one, like when season one was out, and the first episode, I was just like, I don't have the emotional capacity for this. It's so stressful.
It is stressful. Mm. I'm not going to lie. And it can be quite draining. There's definitely a maximum. It's not bingeable. Mm. But they release episodes weekly, so you don't have to binge. But yeah, I just think some of the performances, it's such a young cast. Obviously, it's a very Gen Z sort of approach to everything. But I just think the cast is so immensely talented. I was talking to Polly about it briefly, and she and I agree, there's just this one episode recently that came out where it's just like, just give Zendaya her second Emmy right now.
Really?
Like,
she's amazing.
She's incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sort of talk too many spoilers in case people haven't seen it, but there is an episode in which her character Rue, who is seriously addicted to all sorts of drugs, essentially she's been highly functioning throughout the second season, so her mum and her sister think she's clean and she's not. And it all comes out in the wash in this particular episode. And there's a huge manic episode and she goes on the run. And it's just, it's almost like it's filmed in real time and almost like it's one shot. It's not, but you get the feeling. And it really amps up the drama. And the whole time you're just thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Stressful.
Yeah, but stressful, but at the same time, just so, so realistic and gritty. And then you just get to the end of it and you just think, my God, that was a tour de force.
Yeah, she is amazing. I'm actually obsessed. I'm also really obsessed with, I'm on the flip side, I'm not watching Euphoria, but I'm really obsessed with her and Tom Holland's relationship.
Me
so I'm on
too.
The like cringe Instagram, like they come, my Discover feed is basically only Hailey Bieber and Zendaya at this point, but they're just such a cute couple.
Are they romantically together now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't realize that.
Apparently they dated briefly about 4 years ago when they first started doing Spider-Man together, which is how they met, and then that sort of fizzled, and she's literally been out with loads of really good-looking guys in the meantime, including Jacob Elordi, who's in Euphoria with her,
hot.
Who's a right hunk.
No, he is. Sorry, I didn't realize it was 1999.
My sister often texts me, and she's like, "Nate is such a horrible character. Why is he so good-looking?"
Sometimes
I'm like,
they're horrible,
that's the problem. Isn't
that's
it?
The turn on.
But yeah, no, their relationship sort of turned serious, I think, over the summer.
Yeah, I find him so fascinating because he's quite a, like...
Yeah, he's real goose.
Yeah, he's a real, like, sweet little English boy who's got, like, 100 million Instagram followers. Yeah. And he's, like, the biggest movie star of all time now. It's wild.
I swear his accent gets more Cockney, though, every time I listen to him. I think he's trying to be, like, one of the people.
Yeah, he tries to play into the whole British thing, doesn't he?
As in, I'm so normal, I'm just like you, mate.
He's got some weird film out about a cat. Have you seen this?
No.
I keep thinking I must, like, discover what this is actually about, but it's about a cat. Yeah, hang on.
He gives a cat. You're not talking about Uncharted.
Yeah. Is it not about a cat?
It's not about a cat.
But in the trailer, there's a cat. He gives Mark Wahlberg a cat.
Fine, but I don't think that's what it's about. It's based on, like, this enormously best-selling video game, which I know nothing about because I don't play video games, but apparently it's massive, and he plays the main guy.
But just to be clear,
I don't think it's about
in the trailer that keeps being on TV. He gives, I'm just going to Google it, he gives Mark Wahlberg a cat, and is like, I think you really need this friend. It's a cat.
I'm sure that's probably just a funny line, isn't it?
Have you also seen Channing Tatum's trailer for Dog?
Well, I know. Exactly. That's what I thought.
But
sorry, but
Uncharted did unbelievably well at the box office. Dog didn't. Maybe it's because it's based on a video game and because not because it's about a cat.
Wow, this new cat film is doing so well.
The video game is apparently bigger than like Call of Duty or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Treasure hunter Victor Sullivan recruits street smart Nathan Drake to help him recover a 500-year-old lost fortune amassed by explorer. A heist which becomes a globe-trotting knuckle.
I'm not sure
white
the cat
knuckle race
plays a massive part in that.
Noted.
The cat leads them to the treasure.
Understood. Has anyone else watched anything good?
I spent about 12 hours on the weekend watching Ted Lasso.
I'm so pleased. You're probably ahead of me now. Where are you up to?
We've got two more episodes of the second season to go.
Okay.
Charlotte and I are obsessed. So, and we had a similar experience. No one else seemed to be watching it at the time.
Well, I have been talking about it a lot. So yeah. I'm so pleased you love it. I told you you'd love it.
It's so amazing. It's so and good. Apart from this one episode, which I haven't enjoyed.
Which one?
Oh, which one?
How far along are you guys? I feel like it's maybe towards the end.
I'm like halfway through season two.
Yeah.
Have you had the one that's just about Coach Beard?
No.
Okay. That one.
I love him as a character, though.
Just the whole thing has brought me so much joy. And I think there's... I know you've spoken in the past about watching things that are, like, too deep and dark and don't kind of make you feel good about yourself. Mm. I think there's, like...
Not about myself.
No, but, just about life. Like, heavy to watch.
Yeah.
And I think there's something... There's a real skill in making a comedy that is actually... incredible.
Yeah,
the same with Schitt's Creek. It's a really fine line before it just being like a bit corny and a bit of shit. And I watch it and I just come away from it feeling so much happier.
Yeah,
and like you take on parts of those characters. It's the same with Alexis in Schitt's Creek. Yeah. Where I came out of it, I was like, when I finished, I was like, I can't believe that I'm not gonna have Alexis in my life anymore. And when this ends, there's a season three, so thank God.
Yeah, and I think they'll keep going. They've won loads of awards.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it?
New in 2020. Okay. There's been three seasons.
I think that's why it was so successful.
Oh my God, I thought I had three.
No.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I thought there was a whole third season to go.
It's to come. It just hasn't.
Oh, fuck, I'm going to slow down in that case.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Ration yourself.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your weird crush on him, though?
On who?
You said you fancied Ted Lasso.
No, I did not.
I swear you did, because I've literally told everyone this weekend.
No, that is a massive lie. I really fancy Brett Goldstein, who plays
Roy. Oh, okay. I misheard that.
Who plays
That's
Roy.
Equally weird to me, though.
They are incomparable. No, Ted Lasso, very unsexy. Brett, who talks like a fuck off, mate. That's really hot.
I think Juno Temple is also incredible.
Yeah,
she's so fantastic.
So believable.
Yeah.
I feel like... when you see her on red carpets and stuff, she's so quirky and like what have you. And then in this, she's just like so down to earth.
Yeah, she's also really posh, as is. And I wanted to watch, like you always want to know what people's real voices sound like.
Yeah.
So I watched an interview with the guy who plays Jamie.
Oh yeah.
Also really posh, really well spoken.
Really? How funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love him.
Brett Goldstein, to your point, although I don't find him physically attractive, he's also one of the main writers of the show, which I think is really interesting.
You should watch him win his... is it a Golden Globe or an Emmy? Can't remember. But watch his acceptance speech because he basically is the character, just a bit smilier. It's pretty good.
It's just so quick. Like, imagine having a Ted Lasso in your life. I don't know anybody like that. Mm. To have someone that positive and happy and coming up with those one-liners all the time.
He is fictional.
No, I know. But someone has come up with that character.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know.
It's also a really smart and salient way of reminding viewers that, like, not everyone is... a bad person.
Yes, you know, true. It's
like
very
good.
It's
people do
show.
Exist.
Have you ever watched Modern Family?
No.
I think that is one of the best happy, jolly comedies. I mean, there's a reason it ran for 10 series. Actually, that's not true. The Big Bang Theory also ran for 10 seasons, and that is the biggest load of shit. But Modern Family is genuinely also
is that
genius.
Canned laughter.
No. There's no laughter on it. No. That's what Big Bang Theory is like.
Yeah.
It's if you like warm, happy comedies that are also really, really intelligent and clever and well-written. That's
usually, I prefer a British humour in that instance.
I would say it's got quite a weirdly British sense of humour, though.
It's quite
very
sarky.
Sarcastic. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I've never watched it religiously, but I know enough.
Yeah. Start from the beginning. Watch the whole thing. It's on Netflix. It's so good. Laura, anything to recommend? You were away last week.
Yeah, I was away.
So what did you get up to?
I mean, I never really watched that much TV. I always sit in these podcasts.
That's okay. Tell us about Cornwall.
Yeah, I went to Cornwall. It was half term, so we went to Watergate Bay for 2 nights, which was lush, and got stuck in the storm. It was pretty wild, but it was beautiful. And yeah, it was just so nice to get away.
All I've ever seen of Watergate Bay is that incredible corner window
of the pool.
Is that just one bedroom or is it? I don't know.
No, that's the restaurant. And then there's a pool which overlooks the beach. Stunning. And yeah, it was. It's just, I've been a few times. I'm not a massive, I know you don't really get this, but I don't love hotels. I don't love the idea of eating breakfast and supper with
you
the same
people. You don't love a hotel?
Not that much.
Sorry, hang on. I don't like a resort hotel where it's the same people, breakfast, lunch and dinner. I hate that as well.
Yeah, I just don't really like it. I like a hotel for like 3 nights and then I'm done.
But there you can go to loads of restaurants, can't you? Like, is it in good proximity to places?
There are a few surrounding amazing hotels.
I don't have a TV show to recommend. Although I am watching The Morning Show, which I'm really enjoying, but we've talked about that a lot. But I've got a new restaurant to recommend. It's called Le Petit Beef Bar.
Le Petit Beef Bar.
Which is part of the original one is in Monte Carlo, but they're all over the world now. And they just opened in, January opened in London. And the food is so good. It's in Chelsea. It's like entrecote, but like slightly more refined. And you can book. So the downside of entrecote is that you can't book. The whole entrecote secret sauce is basically copied by Le Petit Beef Bar. But there was a deep fried corn tempura starter, which, like, you know when you just think about something.
Oh my God, I love that.
It was so good. We went on Friday night and it had like a spicy mayo. It was so good. And the steak was excellent. Lovely cocktails and a really nice setting.
I'm guessing solo beef, no veggies allowed.
There's quite a few fish dishes on the menu.
I say actually at Watergate Bay, I think I had the nicest food I've had for such a long time.
That's nice. What did you have?
I had this one evening, I had this miso cod on like these greens, but the sauce was just unbelievable.
Nice. Was it all really nice and fresh and
seafoody? Yeah, so fresh. It was amazing. Nice. And then I had salted caramel ice cream with biscotti. Mm. And I just think, keep it simple. Nice. Delicious. Yeah. It was so yummy.
I'm going to Gymkhana for the first time on Friday. I'm so excited. I wanted to go for so long. So I went right before
the pandemic kicked off, and I thought it was really like an interesting experience. That sounds really sort of up myself, but in terms of like not normal Indian food, really interesting.
Nice, because I love normal Indian food.
I wouldn't go in with that.
It's really different. Okay, nice.
Yeah, if you love a Friday night takeaway, you're going to be disappointed.
No, that's fine. I know it's nicer than that.
Okay, but it's also just like the authenticity behind it. You can just tell. It's just really artfully done.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm really excited. Really excited. Right. Let's answer some reader questions. Someone has asked, I don't know if anyone's going to have an answer to this. Lou, you might. Hotels and restaurants in Wales for husband's birthday.
Why would Lou?
Because it's near Bristol.
Oh, I see.
I've never been to Wales.
That's niche.
Niche.
I bet you do. Go on.
No, I don't. I actually think there's a dearth because me and my mum have been trying to go to Wales for ages and we literally can't find anywhere decent to stay, so we just haven't done it.
Apparently Tenby is very lovely, but I don't know if there's hotels. But
I was going to say, as an area.
Maybe we should do a Wales guide.
Oh my God, fun. Oh, I thought you were going to say trip.
But like that west coast is supposed to be really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's, it's more like pubs with rooms and the pubs are a bit dingy and you're just like, oh.
But sometimes they're quirky and
brilliant. I know. It's so hard to know in advance, though, isn't it? And if you don't have a personal recommendation, then...
Harriet, somebody says, absolutely loving Sherry on the podcast. Will Harriet be back? Miss her chat. There we go.
So nice.
Here I am. Okay, so many fashion questions. What else? How to find personal style like Queen Charlotte C. Okay, somebody has said, what would your last meal be if you could choose it? Starter, main and dessert. I mean, that could be a whole podcast in itself.
I
feel like everybody's always thought about their death row dinner. What's one thing, one dish that would have to be on your death row supper? Lou, Harriet?
One of mine would be, I guess I've definitely spoken about this before, but it's a sesame aubergine ponzu. Which is just insane. It used to be at Pen Yen. They've taken it off the menu, I think, because somebody had nut allergy, and it's devastating news. It was like the aubergine is so lightly deep fried that it's just like really crispy, so light and fluffy on the inside. The most insane sauce you could ever imagine. Oh God, it's like melting my mouth just thinking about it. We shouldn't have this conversation pre-lunch.
I know. 12:30, terrible time.
Harriet?
The only thing that instantly springs to mind is we went on holiday to Norfolk last summer, and whilst I won't get into the main holiday, the saving grace of this holiday was the hotel we stayed at was called the Harper, and they have vegetarians, closure is, sorry, they have this Chateaubriand on the menu, which was just like, where do they get this meat from? It is so different to anything else I've ever had before. And it was just classic with béarnaise sauce and chips, but honestly, we had it every single night.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was actually reasonably priced for a start as well. But literally, I was like, I cannot, we're probably not going to come back to this hotel. Not because it's bad. I actually love that hotel. Just the area wasn't necessary for us. But I just thought, if I'm never coming back here again,
I have to have it
eat your every single real. Night.
Damn right. Okay.
Yum.
Was yours? Delicious. I don't know. It's so hard.
So hard, isn't it? I mean, I'd almost go with what I just said I had the other night. I enjoyed it so much.
Oh, that's nice.
It was such a nice balance of like something quite flavoury, not too heavy.
And there's something so nice when it's like surprisingly incredible as well. Yeah. You weren't expecting it to be.
Yeah. I can't think of like a specific dish. I mean, I can think of loads of specific dishes, but I'd have to have oysters on my menu.
Ooh,
love oysters.
I've never had one.
Pound oysters until.
Could you?
Like oysters would stop me, not the other way around.
What
like,
do you have it with the, what do you put on your oyster?
Honestly, I'm happy to have them plain, but I'll have like a little bit of lemon, tiny bit of like the onion thing.
Onion stuff, yeah.
Tabasco I find overpowers it.
Okay.
I'm there for the salt, you know.
Yeah.
Not for, I don't brine. Use it. I don't want, I don't, yeah, the brine. Mm-hmm. I don't need it as a vehicle for other flavours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But just like, when we're in New Orleans, they have like, honestly, I'm literally salivating. They're like the size of my fist. They're, oh my God.
Do you chew them?
No. And you know, somebody said the other day you're supposed to chew them.
Where were we?
Was that here?
Yeah.
It must have been. Anyway. No. Oh my God, I love them. I'm a sucker for salt. So that's mine. Ooh, yum. Okay. Somebody has asked about wedding jewellery, which again is quite a big topic, but what did you guys do, Lou?
My mum wore my engagement ring and then I put it on as soon as I had my wedding ring on. And then I wore a pair of Jesse Thomas earrings. I really wanted something a bit more interesting for my ears. I wore a really fine chain from Catbird as my necklace. Again, it was like all my usual jewellery. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, these amazing earrings from Jesse Thomas. It's almost like a crawler, but made up of lots of different shapes of diamonds. It's really beautiful. Mm. Quite like sculptural. Mm. I loved it.
Really pretty. Laura?
I mean, I feel so dated now. Mm. I got married quite a long time ago. I wore like classic, they were pearl and they weren't real diamonds, but they were nice. Mm. In fact, my sister wore them. Yeah. I lent them to her. They were very simple.
There you go. She only just got married.
Yeah, yeah. They were very simple. They were really nice. And then like somebody wore my engagement ring.
Yeah.
And then swapped it all over.
I think mine also feels dated, I guess, in 3 years and a pandemic, a lot changes in terms of wedding jewelry. Like now you could literally do anything or whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are so many different types of dresses around as well. Mm. So in Judaism, you're not allowed to wear any jewelry when you get married, like under the huppah during the ceremony. So I think I did have earrings in. I borrowed some diamond stars for my mom. And then, yeah, my best friend wore my engagement ring.
But you exchange a ring.
You exchange a ring.
Right, so that's your only jewellery you're meant to.
Yeah, and it has to be an uninterrupted circle, your ring. So nothing with diamonds, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting, literally just a plain band. So yeah, I must have put that on and then got my engagement ring back, but nothing else. Mm. But I think now I would do something different. I mean, I would wear something completely different and go completely different.
I notice you wear your ring over the top of your engagement ring.
I do. It looks a lot cooler. Yeah. I think because my engagement ring is very, very simple and classic, as is my wedding band. So then when they're worn kind of conventionally,
you feel a bit too traditional.
It's a bit too trad, whereas together it feels almost like a bit more accidental.
Agreed.
Or it just suits me more.
I always think it looks really nice.
Thanks. Yeah. And it goes, because I wear gold rings as well with it. I always think it looks better. Anyway, I think we've all agreed that there are no rules now.
No.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Just do whatever you want. Somebody has asked, I think this is a lovely question, aspect of life that has brought you the most confidence in yourself, home life, school, or an experience?
What interesting question.
I'll go first because I know exactly, I can pinpoint mine really easily. And this sounds, it sounds really like superficial, but it's doing things that I haven't, doing social things. And I don't really do this anymore because now I'm old and can't be bothered. But it was in my 20s doing social things that would put me outside of my comfort zone. So going on hens where I didn't know anyone. I remember going on my sister-in-law's hen when they're quite a bit older than us. So I must have been like 24. And yeah, so obviously everyone was way older and I didn't know anyone. And I remember just getting really stuck in and having the best time. And then that was really quite good for me, I think. And so, and everything, you know, with work as well, we get to go to a lot of events where, you know, you don't know people and you have to do that thing where you walk into a room and make the best of it and go and chat to people. And God, it's scary at first. But I think doing those things that put you out of your comfort zone, you can only grow in confidence from doing those. So I think that's mine. Anyone else?
Well, Laura and I have talked about this before. I had crippling shyness when I was a child to the point where, I don't know, I'd get dropped off for a ballet class and I wouldn't talk to anyone and I'd just stand in the corner and cry because I was so, so socially awkward that it physically made me upset. And I think my parents, both of them are very no-nonsense and they just nip stuff in the bud all the time. So by the time I was about 12, I think my mum said, it's going to be your year of doing. So everything we need doing, you're going to do it. By which she meant if we were going to order a takeaway on a Friday night, I had to phone the place and make the order. If we were in a restaurant, I had to order for the whole table. If we were in a shop, I had to check out with all the stuff and talk to the people. If I needed help, I had to ask someone myself. And she just didn't let me rely on her for anything. And then I think that, coupled with the fact that my dad moved to the US when I was mid-teens, and then my sister followed him shortly after. So me and my mum have really been on our own ever since. And anything that's gone wrong, I've had to sort out pretty much myself. So I just think I've had to be an adult, like, sort of before my time. I think, I don't want to speak for all parents, but I suspect there's quite a lot of coddling. I know there is because I've seen people do it where they sort of shelter their kids for longer than they possibly need to be. And my parents just weren't like that. It was like, from the day you're 12, you're an adult.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It sounds harsh. But
it's parenting by throwing you at the deep end.
But yeah. And it's not for everyone. And I know that every child is different and needs different things. But my parents obviously looked at me and thought that these sort of tough love approach was going to work. And I think it did. I think because I've never really had that thing of like, now I have to walk into a room and I don't know anyone. Shit, where do I begin? From the offset, I was just like, that's I've just got to get on with it, haven't you? Because otherwise my mum will be mad.
I love that. I think that's really good advice. Laura, can you think of an experience?
Mine sounds quite heavy, I think, in comparison. But when I met my husband shortly after, his mum was very unwell. And then shortly after that, his stepfather. So between the pair of us, we had three parents die in a relatively short period of time compared to most people. And with death comes a lot of heavy growing up very, very fast. So I think that was kind of a turning point for me, plus keeping a job, doing two rounds of IVF, you know, then having children and trying to muster and keep all of that essentially going all very closely. It made me grow up.
Do you think
really
do you think it's given you a confidence because you kind of can look back and think, well, I did that. I conquered those things.
For sure. So, yeah. And I really can like take a view on stuff now, whereas I didn't before.
Yeah.
And I have to really pick carefully about what I care about. And do I care about that for it to really bother me? Or can I just get on with it? And I really sit back now and think, life is precious. Life is short. Where do I want to channel my energy? Because, you know, plus I've got three children looking at me like I looked at my parents, who are kind of looking at me as their role model, and it's like, what do I want to teach them? Which kind of, I guess it sounds a bit heavier, but
no, that's great. It changes your perspective. My dad's dad died when he was very young, like when he was 12, and so, and obviously, you know, we're all unfortunate enough to know people who've lost parents quite young, and my mum has always said that the people she knows who lost parents at a young age, and you know, how old were you, 35?
I wasn't 30? That young, yeah.
No, but that is still young, like as in like before their time, right?
Yeah, my husband was really, well, he was 20.
Yeah, that's horribly
young. It's really young.
Yeah, but that those people she thinks have the best perspective on life and are so much more capable of dealing with the shit that life throws you from that. So obviously, you know, no one would ever wish for it. And it's a consequence of something really horrible. But she's always said that those people the best perspective.
My own father's death has taught me so much about life, and I so wish sometimes that he could just pop back for like a few hours just to see like how I would now deal with a situation compared to how I would have dealt with it had he been alive.
How much you've learned from it. Yeah. That's really interesting. Well, great answers, guys. Thank you. Somebody has asked about imposter syndrome at a new job. What's your tips for conquering imposter syndrome?
I think just think you've been hired and they've seen something in you and they believe in you. You have to believe in yourself. And I think there are so many moments in our lives, you know, jobs or whatever, where you feel imposter syndrome. I think it's totally normal. And I think it almost it's good because it helps you challenge yourself and like raise yourself to a level that you think you need to be. So yeah, use it to your advantage.
Harriet, you were nodding.
Yeah, I think especially in the first, I would say it goes up to like 6 or 9 months almost. Be completely comfortable with the idea that you will make mistakes.
Yes.
It's impossible.
I so agree with that.
To not make mistakes. And all you can do is, I think one of the most important things that I've learned across my career is to own mistakes. So I think there's a real tendency when you feel like someone's pointed something out that's been done wrong and you think, fuck, that was me, to go on the defensive and be like, oh, well, it happened because this person didn't do that or I wasn't sent this in time. Sometimes that's true. But if you can just say, that is my bad, I'm really sorry, it won't happen, I'll try my best not to let it happen again, I think that almost takes the wind out of people's sails. By people, I mean like your managers or whoever, because they can see that you've been mature enough to know that that is not okay and that you're going to do everything you can to stop it happening again. So yeah, I think there's a maturity in like owning your mistakes, and imposter syndrome feeds into that, which is like, don't expect yourself to be perfect at it. Like, this is a new environment, you're gonna have to learn a certain amount on the job. But hopefully you're a quick learner, and if you are, then it will be fine.
And then when you get it right, you'll feel extra good.
That's absolutely true.
Totally.
I think that's really good advice. Okay, let's finish with some fashion questions. Lou, someone said, Lou, share a potential fringe jacket, please. We all need. Have you got? You mentioned last week that you had.
Oh my god, no.
You found one.
No, I haven't found it. I'm still waiting. Yeah, I keep looking at the old Nearly Low Tan one. Is actually available on the Farfetch, but it's
like disgraceful.
So expensive.
Yeah. There's a Ray suede shirt.
Yes, it's so good. That
I really want, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
It's like 900 and something pounds.
It's crazy. I'm going to Paris this weekend, so I'm hoping to find
something.
Yes, you are.
Did you get, you asked for recommendations. Did you get any good ones?
Yes, I did. I got some really good ones. So yeah, I'm going to go through quite a few like gallery recommendations and some good restaurants. Nice. We go early Saturday morning, come back late Sunday night. So it's quite hard to be like, right, okay, there's one dinner, there's two lunches, there's one breakfast.
Yeah.
So yeah, trying to pick the right places.
I'm going next Friday for the date.
Oh, how come just the day?
Because my best friend's there. So, okay. And I've been saying that it's her birthday the following week, and I had a holiday day to use before the end of March. So yeah. I feel the same. I think it's about 11 hours. I think I get in at 10:30. I've got the first train out, last train home. So I've got from 10:30 till like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
It's not long.
No, it's not long.
You've got to bash it out.
Try and cram it away.
I was going to say, if you plan though, you can probably achieve
quite a lot.
And also
like, Paris is Paris. It's always going to be there. So you just have to do what you want to do.
And if you've been a few times, then you're not doing all the kind of checklist things you need to do. Yeah. There's like a couple of, like, we just love sitting at like Café Charlotte and just literally watching the world go by. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's kind of always on our list of things to do. So.
And that's the best thing. We always say this. That's the best thing about going back to a city that you know really well as well, that you can do that. You don't have to feel obliged to do anything. Let's do some quick fire final questions. Somebody has said, can a denim jacket look stylish? What are they done? Laura, how do you pull off a denim jacket these days?
I've got to say, I replace with a denim shirt, I would say. I think leave the denim jacket now.
This morning I went to buy that denim shirt that Polly put on Fashion Fix and it's sold out.
Oh, which one?
Medium, the one with the big pockets.
Yeah, so
it's like a jackety shirt.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah.
There's so many around like that.
No,
though.
But I want that one.
Well,
I'd say if you're going to go jacket, the only way is like, you've got to have budget for an Isabel Marant one, haven't you?
Well, I think that the key is to go shacket. So like, I've got a Cezanne one, which is like 70s long, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fine. But I wouldn't wear like a...
No, you wouldn't.
But I love the wardrobe NYC vibe where it's thicker.
Yeah, but that's what that shirt is like. That's really... Yeah. I really want it. Somebody said tips for shopping online so as not to spend hours and hours. I mean, pass.
I love
spending hours and hours online.
Shop three Sherlocks. Look at our edits. Yeah.
Duh. Right answer, Laura. Okay, and finally, basket bags worth investing in this summer. Lou, is it going to be the year of the Loewe?
Oh, it's so annoying. I actually had, I think it was in Christmas, I got a notification that the Loewe basket was back in stock, and I messaged Charlotte and Polly and was like, is it too late? And they're like, no, do it. And so I added to my basket, was really chuffed. I was like, woohoo, it's coming on Monday. And then I got a message saying, sorry, we are unable to fulfill your order.
Oh, so I hate that. You're quite specific about which one you want, aren't
you? Yeah, I rented it last summer and it was a really good test to whether I actually really wanted it. And it did confirm to me that it just is a really good summer bag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
also, they just come out every year. I just think, like, my basket bag, which has now died a death, I have had for years, and it's still a good investment, even though it is a wicker bag.
It's true. Mm. It's true. I mean, I suppose I'm so in two minds because I also really want a designer one. I really want the Prada. Like, it's more of a raffia bag.
I've seen it. Oh my God.
It's so good. Have we all lost our heads? It's a piece of raffia.
I know.
You can buy a basket bag for like £5 in a market,
and
they slap a Loewe on it, and you're like, sold for 500 quid.
500 quid. Mm. I mean, Mango did such a good dupe of it when it first came out, and I managed to get it for like £35 off ASOS, and I swear it's all I need.
Yeah.
From a distance, you'd think it was Loewe, and I personally
think
don't
if you're
know
not
if
going
spend...
branded, just go completely.
Yeah, don't spend it. Don't spend just a penny. Yeah, exactly.
But you could kind of say that with so many things about the cost of them.
Sorry.
But sweatshirts as well. Like, you know, so many of these things that they're not high ticket items, like in terms of like the fabrication and the skill that takes to create them.
But therefore, I think there's a limit. I wouldn't spend £300 on a sweatshirt. Although I actually really want like one of the Gucci Donald Duck ones. I do. I really do.
Oh my God.
But they're like £900.
In the same sentence.
I haven't bought it, have I?
So. I think there is a limit to these things. At the moment, the one piece I am dying for is a wonton bag from Boy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
and I think
so
that
cute.
Is such a good price.
They're good
price.
Yeah,
they're really cute.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As in, like, I think the one I have on my Net-a-Porter wish list is like $880 for a designer bag that I don't think will age.
No, that's really good. I do think with a lot of these things, it's relative to how much you are interested in that category.
Mm.
Like, I would not spend like £150 on myself going to a restaurant. Like, I just don't enjoy, like, that to me is not like a...
It's not a priority.
It's just not like a great use of money. But then to me, spending £150 on a t-shirt is a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
But I get so much pleasure out of it. So I think it depends how much pleasure it's going to bring you as an individual. I don't think there's a, like, this is how much someone should spend.
And everyone's so different. Like, Georgie always says that she would never spend money on knitwear and that she'd only buy knitwear on the high street. I could not agree less.
Yeah.
Like, always invest in knitwear. I feel the difference massively.
Yeah.
So everybody, you know, people feel like that about you really believe in investing in denim.
Yeah.
I honestly think denim is denim and that you buy it anyway. So, you know, as you say, it's about, but then I hate wearing jeans and you love wearing jeans. So it is about which is really unhelpful advice, isn't it?
I guess the point is, I think it's great advice because you're telling people to think about emotionally where you would invest and then relate that to price.
Yeah, true.
I know that if I bought a wicker bag from Loewe and the bottom fell out after 3 months because I'd used it so much, I'd think, fuck, that's £500 like gone.
Yeah.
Whereas if the bottom falls out, my Mango one, I'm not going to care.
That's true.
My wonton bag.
The wonton bag you don't yet have.
Which should be yours.
Yeah.
The one you're manifesting. Mine. Yeah.
Manifesting. I am confident enough that that is going to last and that I'm not going to be heartbroken.
Yeah.
But it's an amount of money that I feel comfortable with thinking relative to the brand and the design and everything.
It's the same with like with your hair or with your nails or, you know, with holidays, with travel, with car. Like, I don't know. I just think you have your thing that care about.
It's so true. All right. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you for listening. Don't forget that we put the question box out every Sunday on our Instagram stories. So you can ask us your questions there or you can email podcast@sheerlux.com if you have any feedback too. Don't forget to like, review, subscribe and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.